I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR. Sports Radio 550.
Oh, that's what this game tonight needs. That level of enthusiasm and energy from the fans. Bring it! Sabres and Canadians, the opener tonight. Let's talk about it. Travis Yost, our friend from TSN, Bills fan as well. Got to get some time in on the Bills. I mean, maybe a lot. I don't know. But it's been a while since we've talked to Travis. Always a pleasure. Thanks for being on, Travis.
Of course. Looking at this Sabres lineup, it might be a lot anyway.
Might be a lot. Well, Jack Eichel, of course, isn't in it. And there's a report, that little video I've just watched from ESPN, Emily Kaplan, on how there was some thought that maybe a trade was about to happen last week. And everybody seemed to think, she says, that it was close, but there was no trade. And she says that five teams are still interested and have the cap room to make it work. I don't know what you know, Travis. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just, of course, would want to hear your thoughts on how you think this is going, or where or how you think it might be ending.
Well, I think it is ending because there's an important piece of context in everything you just said, which is those five teams. I mean, how I watched the same exact snippet from Emily, and the way I interpreted it was those five teams would be willing to support the artificial disc replacement, which seems to be the sticking point here. So not only do you have teams still interested, they're also interested in accordance with what the player wants to do. And on top of that, the one challenge the Sabres are going to have here, though, is those are a bunch of tailwinds and favorable to trading Jack. But the reality is it is now October, whatever day it is, of 2020, because that year's never ended. And a lot of these teams don't have cap space anymore. And that's the reality. So it's either going to be a money-in, money-out type of deal. We already know Buffalo is going to have to eat salary from elsewhere. But when you look at teams, and I'll just pick two, when you look at Boston, you look at Vegas, I mean, they both have been interested in Jack Eichel. They are both contenders. I would say Vegas is a Stanley Cup contender. There is a legitimate need, especially for Vegas down the middle of the lineup, but you could argue as a Bergeron replacement, the same for Boston. I do think this is coming to an end, though, because of that of the prior medical point, which is if teams are going to support this, and there is enough group of teams, we have five now, that would be theoretically vying for a player like Eichel. To me, Buffalo has now situated themselves to basically say, give us your best offer, and we're going to carry it from there and get this thing done. I don't see any other way that this resolves at this point, because everything else is at impasse. But if these teams are now supporting the treatment and they're willing, and Buffalo is willing to take on some salary, I actually do think it's going to come to a close here in the next week or two.
Well, they definitely have to take on some salary if they trade Eichel, Travis. He's not on a long-term IR at this point.
Right.
So they're well below the floor if they lose that $10 million cap hit. The thing that's always kind of scared me about getting to this point, you know, the regular season has begun. It does involve the money, because obviously a team that needs to clear room is, you know, they'd like to trade away their lousiest contracts probably, But even those guys might be still viewed as contributors on some level for a contending team. And if you're trading for Eichel, you're looking at a guy who, best case scenario, isn't playing until, what, after the Olympics? Or maybe just before that? I mean, there's going to be a rehab period, even though it's a lot shorter with the artificial disc replacement. You're still acquiring a player for a big salary and sending out players for someone who is not going to be available to you for at least a couple of months. And that would be problematic for a contending team.
It's a really good point, and it's why I should have at the top had denoted this. I think you said it really well, but I think it's what puts a team like Anaheim in a pretty good spot, because in the situation of Anaheim, not only can they absorb his contract, but Buffalo needing to take on money, to your point, Anaheim can move some of that salary and really quell this concern of, well, we have got to contend for a postseason berth or something more meaningful immediately this season. Like, that's not Anaheim's timeline, right? Contrast that with, again, Vegas. If you look at Vegas, I mean, you've got a lot of players making somewhere between $4 and $7 million. Most of these players have split no trade clauses. They may have an 8-list, 18-list, a 10-team list. You can assure that Buffalo is on the majority of those lists, considering where that franchise is right now. But think of a logical player that would fit in Buffalo, would make sense in Buffalo, has the salary, is still highly valuable. William Karlsson. How much better is Vegas if they have some sort of trade package that includes William Karlsson going out with Jack Eichel coming in, and he still needs his work done? So I think, to your point, it does put teams like Vegas in a bit of a bind there, because you start going down cap tray and lane. It's like, look, I only have a certain number of choices here in terms of moving salary, and teams that have been relatively well managed, Boston, Vegas, two good examples. They don't have just dead salary that they can throw into a deal and then say, okay, we're going to bury you with high-end draft picks. That's just not going to be the case. In the case of a couple of these teams, they've traded away some of their future. So that part is tricky, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I was waiting to get to Anaheim. Like, what do you think return-wise? You just said, get your best offer on the table and we'll manage it from there. Like, does – at this point, given that the season has begun and you're talking about a player who's going to be out for at least some period of time, a couple of months conservatively, maybe speaking, are the Sabres to be expected to land a Zegras or a Drysdale or anybody's top guy in return in this trade now? Or is it ship sailed, you think?
Yeah, it's even interesting when you look at Anaheim, too, because if you're – again, you can define top guys two ways. You can say top blue-chip prospects, or you can say high-end, NHL players. I think Buffalo has an interest in both, right? And I go to two names on the Anaheim roster, right? Rickard Rakell and Hampus Lindholm. Well, Buffalo would have a dramatic need for Rakell as a scoring winger, right? And he could play both sides. A player like Lindholm is a first-pairing defenseman at the NHL level. He's on a $5.5 million deal right now. I mean, these are players that make Buffalo better. There's no two ways around it. But here's another problem. Both of them are signed through one more year and are going to hit unrestricted free agency. You start looking at that and you're like, well, maybe that doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a player like Sam Steele, who's got 1 year left and he's a restricted free agent at the year end. Okay, maybe Buffalo heads in that direction. And how highly you regard Steele as a player, that may vary. I mean, he's 23 years old at this point in his career, at once considered a blue-chip prospect, but how does Buffalo value that? I'm not sure. But I do think what you're doing, and you guys have done well, is spell out the problem here for Buffalo, which is if you can't pick, you're not going to be able to have it all, right? So you're either going to have dead contracts and futures. You're going to have players with contracts where they may have a ward or two. Maybe it doesn't have the length on the contract that you would like, or a player, may have a no-move clause that you're going to have to get him to waive. And that is the part that makes where you sympathize a little bit with Buffalo's front office, because navigating through that minefield is some kind of a task. But again, this is why this needed to happen earlier in the offseason, when there was way more roster flexibility across the entirety of the NHL. That just doesn't exist right now. A lot of these teams are cap constrained. And if they're not cap constrained, they're roster constrained. So I still think the pressure is on Buffalo at a maximum level to get this thing done, and I, if I'm reading between the lines, I still think it gets there. But I do think from just a merely educational exercise, as you start naming these teams, it's like, oh, yeah, Boston and Vegas and Anaheim and Seattle. And it's like, you know, putting Seattle aside for a second because of the uniqueness, most of these teams are challenged on either we don't have enough talent or we have a lot of talent, but it's all tied up in the cap, or we have that, but we traded away some of our futures. So, you know, it's a very difficult environment for Buffalo to navigate, and it's going to be that way really until the trade deadline at a minimum or until next offseason. I just don't see this getting that far.
Travis Yost with us. We all want it over soon, I think. The team we have, right? Like, you know that these guys deserve that. These guys deserve closure on the Eichel thing because, you know, Paul Hamilton told us yesterday, Montreal media come to town and that's who they want to talk about. And you have some very young players here who really shouldn't have to say too much about that or have to talk about him every day. So what about the team we've got, Travis? I mean, you know the league so well. Are there hidden gems here, or is it, you know, hold your breath?
I think it's mostly going to be hold your breath this year, and here's why. I even to the extent that you're looking, I am really excited for another season of Victor Olsen or Dylan Cousins breakout year. Or, I mean, you can go down the lineup and probably pick 2, 3, 4 players where you see a lot of upside. On the other hand, I go back to organizations that have successfully rebuilt, and I mean when they rebuilt, they were at the depths of a rebuild. Now, Buffalo's taken it to an extreme, but again, we've seen big rebuilds in Arizona, Edmonton, Ottawa, St. Louis. I mean, we've seen the gamut. And usually the high-end players that manifest themselves, first they're able to break even on really bad teams, and then as the team improves around them, you're like, oh, yeah, he's a star, right? It almost is like a Terry McLaurin feel in Washington, right, where you can kind of see a terrible roster that's now quietly, you know, inching towards mediocrity. And it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's maybe a top 10 receiver in the league now. Now I see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be the problem in Buffalo, though, because, you know, the same way a rising tide lifts all boats, it works in both directions. And, I mean, just look at this team. I mean, comprehensively, from the top man on the roster all the way down to 23, including a goaltending tandem of Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell, like, you can't look at this lineup and say they do this thing well, right? Like, there's no reason to be confident about the penalty kill. They don't have the shooting talent for the power play. At 5-on-5, that top six is going to get absolutely crushed. I mean, like, I'm curious to see, like, hey, have they figured something out here with Tage Thompson? Will he play in the middle for an extended period? Does that position make more sense for him? Like, there are plenty of storylines and plenty of reasons to follow this team, but, like, let's just be honest, right? They're going to get bludgeoned for the most part of this year. And what you're really looking to see is those 2 to 3 to 4 younger players, you know, sprinkled throughout the lineup, maybe something that comes back as part of the Jack Eichel trade. Are these guys giving the individual performance that would indicate as the team improves over a period of time, these are the guys that are going to be able to carry the weight of this organization? I compare that literally. I mean, this morning, Brady Tkachuk signs a 7-year, $8.5 million average annual contract. Well, you know what? Brady Tkachuk follows that story almost to a T, right? When the team was absolutely abysmal, he looked good. The team was pretty bad last year, but a little bit more competitive in the Canadian division, and Brady Tkachuk was starting to look really good. And I think, you know, as part of their rebuild, which is further along, they see, yeah, we're still young, we're still undermanned, top six is going to have trouble, but now we've got a top line of young playmakers, and I even said this yesterday, I'm like, look at the top line that Ottawa's going to dress. It's young. It's super fast. Like, they're going to have their problems, especially on the defensive end, but you can see the buildup. You can see a path forward. I just think Buffalo is so far in the gutter right now at this part of the rebuild, or whatever phase of the rebuild they're in at this point, because who knows? It started and stopped so many times already. I mean, there is upside on the roster. I just think it may be very difficult to see. And the goaltending, I mean, let's just be honest, like, barring a miracle, the goaltending has a real chance of sandbagging this team in a bad way, and I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Right. Yeah, you can insert Tokarski for Dell, by the way. He beat Dell out. Dell's in Rochester. Well, he was waived. I don't know that I even actually saw that he got assigned to Rochester, but I always assumed he would end up there. But that aside, I mean, whatever. One for the other. How about Dylan Cousins and all of this? Like, that would be a guy, Travis, that I think a lot of fans – we're excited about last year. Maybe not always for the best reasons, but still, he seems like he fits the profile of someone that we can get behind. I'm a little worried about him being over his head, just from a matchup standpoint on this team. And maybe that's a reason that they moved Tage Thompson into center ice, is to try to avoid doing what I think they did to Casey Mittelstadt a couple years ago when Ryan O'Reilly was traded and they really had no better alternative. It was like, okay, you're our number two center, and it's taken him until last year to sort of stabilize his NHL career. What do you think, Cousins? How do you think he's tracking?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's clearly the player to watch on this lineup, right? Like, is he the best player today? No, but he's by far the player with the most upside. Like, and you could say, hey, you know, there's any range of, again, 2 to 6 players on this lineup that are 25 and under right now that you see real upside with. I do worry about the insulation piece. And again, the Cousins thing is the Brady Tkachuk example from 2 years ago. You look around and it's like, hey, man, I don't really even know where you are in your trajectory at this point, being so early in your career, but I can already be confident in telling you you're going to be the best player on your line. Like, that's not a great recipe for success. And the Mittelstadt thing, it's really interesting you brought that up, right? Because, you know, I think that is exactly what happened with Casey Mittelstadt. And yet, look at the lineup that they're going to dress right now, and look at the role Casey Mittelstadt is going to have to play on this team. I mean, there is a world where he is the first line center on this team right now. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think that story has really ended necessarily. And either way, he is going to get regular top 6 minutes. And, like, we've seen bursts of really, you know, high-end creativity and playmaking the same way we did in this, at more junior levels for Mittelstadt. But, like, you know, defensively, it's always felt awkward. The diminutive frame has clearly hindered him a little bit in a way that, you know, you were hoping that would not be the case, that you could insert a super small, super agile player who can play make in tight space. Like, you see bursts of that, but not the way that he had shown it in prior levels. And again, like, this Buffalo team, like, there may be zero expectations in the lineup, but I am telling you right now, like, Casey Mittelstadt's going to play top 6 minutes, and Tage Thompson is too, and it's likely Dylan Cousins will at some point. And whatever they end up doing with these lines and how they intermix them, like, there isn't going to be any insulation, because the first line in Buffalo is going to see mostly the first line around the league. They are going to be massively undermanned. And the same thing is true basically as you continue down the lineup. So I don't know how they insulate a player like Cousins other than saying, hey, Mittelstadt and maybe even Thompson, we're going to absolutely throw you to the wolves and let our third line at 14 minutes a night at even strength have a fighting chance. Like, maybe that's the plan. The more you talk it out loud, the less sensical it sounds. And unfortunately, that's where the Sabres are right now. You've got a chessboard with no chess pieces, and you're still trying to play the game of chess. It's a big, big challenge here. And again, there's pockets on this roster where you're interested, you're excited, you're curious to see if there's going to be growth, but, like, the team at a whole, at a macro, is really going to struggle because all of these undermanned positions are going to create a compound effect on one another. I don't have enough forwards, so the puck is constantly in my zone. I don't have the goaltending, so when the puck is in my zone, instead of 91% of the time, it's 90% of the time going to be stopped. Stuff like that eventually just becomes death by a thousand paper cuts for a team.
Travis, you've always been so generous with your time to us. If I feel like this time, if we didn't ask you something about the Bills, you'd have the right to get mad and just, like, that, cut us off. That's the last time I'm going on their show. Maybe the best time ever to be a Bills fan. I mean, Bulldog and I were here for the Super Bowls, and Bulldog left and came back, but we're both kind of lifers, and those were obviously great days. But man, right now, like, this is a superior team. They're killing everybody. Pretty good.
It was, let me just say, how vindicating, what a great feeling. Oh, the schedule's weak. It doesn't mean anything that they're beating teams by 40. And that, like, anyone who's done any sort of quantitative analysis in sports will tell you that is one of the dumbest talking points. Just because the Houston Texans and Washington are subpar teams, and because Miami has no offense, the point differential absolutely matters. Like, you cannot beat a team by 40 points in the NFL easily. I know this. You know this. We all know this because we watched Buffalo on the other end of it for how many years? And it was like, yeah, they aren't competitive. This New England is that good. And to me, everything you said is true, and it makes me so – I am so fascinated to see what happens on Monday night, because Tennessee is the other team that watched them last year, and it was a clunky game, and the Titans didn't play for like a month, and there was that massive COVID sick out. The Titans rolled them up, and there was a lot of reasons why that were the case, but – if Buffalo goes into Tennessee, and I don't think this is a referendum of anything, but if Buffalo goes into Tennessee and wins with back-to-back wins against Tennessee and Kansas City, with the record that they would have, a 5-1, I think they'd have probably a 2-3 chance at the number one seed at that point in the AFC. Like, it's not even a maybe at that point, right? Like, this would be the highest flying this team has been since really the early 90s. And I kind of want to see it on a, even on a personal level, because that Tennessee Kansas City two week stretch last week was ugly. And, even though we can discount a lot, like, Tennessee still has four guys that scare the hell out of you on offense, and they create problems. I don't care how good your defense is. So I do think the Monday night game is another big test. The offense should roll on that defense, but I think the defense is going to have another big challenge. I don't know. It sounds like both receivers are going to play this.
Yeah,
week.
It does.
So this is going to be this is a playoff caliber opponent on the road on Monday night. And I think, between this and the lull really to the Tampa Bay game, that's really the soft part of the schedule. But it's a big game. They win. There's no other way to say it. They are flying as high as you possibly could.
Sure seems that way. Travis Yost of TSN. Always a great conversation. Thank you, Travis. Enjoy the season.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Enjoy it as well.
All right. Both seasons, I guess. All right. We've got some more Sabres talk, and then the game tonight, pregame at 6. Paul Hamilton then. Also, along the way, John Clayton coming up. Now's a good time if you've got a question or a comment, 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.